Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. Let's jump right in. This is the lovely Beth Cohn Kramer. Here is her refi.
Good evening.
Yay! And so here is Beth's brief bio. Beth Cohn Kramer is a Los Angeles-based writer and columnist. She covers a range of topics, including politics, health, and women in transition. Her mission is to empower women to value themselves regardless of relationship status or age. Welcome, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Well, you know, today, and thank you for being in the book. Thank you for contributing your lovely quote to the Consent Guidebook. Your quote is on page 103 and 104, because it is, I have to say, it is the lengthiest quote in the book. It was so good, though. I didn't want to cut it down because you added so many.
I have a lot to say.
Yes, and I'm so glad you did. And so I'm going to get to quote in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to chat a little bit about, I just wanted to do a little bit more based on your bio, what you do as a columnist. We had briefly mentioned the Bill Cosby verdict outcome. There's so much to say, but initially, why did you want to contribute to this book? Was there anything in particular that made you want to add something to the book?
Well, I feel very strongly about empowering women and having women feel strong. And I know that in my day, we only looked at consent and rape and those kind of things as a guy lurking behind the bushes, and we learned how to use our keys a certain way, but we never really had any kind of messaging that told us, that taught us about acquaintance rape or, you know, kind of like setting boundaries in relationships. It wasn't really part of the discussion. And moving forward, I think a lot of women who are in their 40s or 50s, especially after divorce, which is the field that I write about, may not have the tools and the skills. And I also am the mother of two daughters, so it's been an important part of my journey. So I have kind of learned myself, you know, so
yeah.
It was important for me to reach out and to when you contacted me about participating in the book, I had some really strong opinions about consent and about relationships and about setting boundaries, which is I think so important for everyone.
Yeah, so absolutely. And you mentioned that in your quote, which I'm going to get to in just a second. I just want to roll back or take a step back for a second. I love that you said quite often has been the conversation about generations, the generational divide and comprehension around consent. And in the workshops I've done and, you know, at conventions and certain things, the thing that stands out to me is this is a generational issue in certain ways, not in all, but there is the most resistance I've felt with this idea of consent and what's happening generally with everything in the Me Too movement specifically has been people, let's say baby boomers and maybe a little bit older. And there are a lot of people who are on board in that age bracket and in those generations. But I would say the most resistance I've personally encountered has been that. And I think it's what you're saying. I think that a lot of this is evolving, right? And it's a whole new, it's a new education. It's like a new way of being and interacting with each other. And I think a lot of people are sometimes, I won't get specific into gender right now, but we can if we'd like. But it's not even specific. I've had a lot of older women say these women are complaining too much about what's happening right now and why didn't it come forward sooner? And I'm like, that's so interesting that it's not about, whoa, this crazy thing's happening and good for these women for speaking up or good for these people for speaking up. It's more of why are they doing this? What the shaming of a victim narrative, right? So thank you for bringing up age in conversation. I appreciate it. And thank you for also bringing up, and I promise this is the last part of my sentence. Thank you for also bringing up the fact that people of a certain age who might be re-entering the dating scene, that this is very new territory for them too. Because I have some experience working with that age group too at matchmaking agencies and such. And it is alert. There's a massive learning curve with jumping in
being
single over a certain age. Tell me everything. Tell me everything.
Uh-huh. Well, I think you have a lot of valid points, and I think one of the reasons why people my age or older have been resistant to the idea of these women coming forward has to do with our definition of that. So, you know, and also I think a lot of that has to do with our own feelings about experiences that we may have had, because then we're not defining it that way. And there might have been experiences that a lot of women, most women probably have had experiences where they had sex when they didn't really want to, and they just went through with it, and it wasn't something that we could put a name to. So now you're bringing these things that are happening in the past, and then you have to kind of re-examine your own experiences, and that's really hard to do. I think it's a very difficult and challenging thing for women to do, because you're having to kind of redefine what happened to you and face what happened to you in a different light. And I think that is what makes it uncomfortable. It can be very uncomfortable to look at it that way. And I think that's bringing up those feelings for women. And also I think that, you know, my day, like we were told, and I don't really know if this still continues so much, but you know, we were supposed to be like, pretend we were virgins and that we didn't want to have sex, and women don't like sex, and we have to be like pretending to that we want the guy to kind of push a little, and this kind of game where we're pushing back until, and then we just do that. And I think that's really confused consent. You know, I don't want it to seem like, you know, I'm blaming women for anything like non-consensual sex, but the reality is that does confuse the issue. And then if a man is hearing that a woman, you know, that just keep pushing and then a woman will turn over, that's not helping the conversation. It's not being an adult, and it's not owning your piece of it, really. And I think it's really important that we just don't do that anymore.
Right. And so that's an amazing point you bring up. I mean, I was part of a workshop. It was called Dating in the Era of Me Too. And there were a lot of men or male identifying people who were there, and they were asking a lot of those questions. A lot of them were saying, you know, I've dated a lot of women who don't think it's sexy to have a consent conversation before, you know, or if I do, there's, you know, all these things that they're like, what do I do now? Because it was like this way, and now it's like this. So how do I navigate this? And so it's all evolving as we speak. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you and, you know, the 30 plus other experts in the book is because we all need to be a part of these conversations. Like, I don't have all the answers myself. None of us do, right? And so it's really important that for me, I feel like it's so important that we all continue to have these conversations and come to, right? But it's important to drive this conversation forward and just basically boil it down to respect and communication, right? But yeah, but it is it's a new playing field of the whole push, push, push. She'll change her mind eventually. Just keep pushing, men. That's all shifting because of what's happening. And I'm not saying that there's not still some like cat and mouse.
That's the natural part of the relationship or pursuing a relationship. But and I don't think it has to be like you show up with like a you know document, a legal document, and have everybody sign off. Like, that's really not me. You know, that's just never going to happen. But, and it doesn't have to be where someone's asking, well, can I touch you? Can I kiss you? How about your neck? Like, I don't think that has to be part of the conversation. I think it just comes from being comfortable enough so that you can give a message. So if you're in a situation where you're not comfortable anymore, then you need to be able to say that. And it's hard. It's really hard because as women, we were raised, especially in my age and older, we were sort of raised that we had to be nice and say yes to everybody. And we weren't supposed to, you know, we were called names if we, you know, if we did something like that. And then there's this expectation that if you're out on a date and you go to somebody's home or whatever, that you're in it already and you can't do anything about it. Like, you can't turn back. And that's not true because, you know, people in relationships, people who are married can be raped. You know, in 1994, it became in every state. There's some variables. There's some states where it has to be that the husband is passed out dead or something for it to be considered spousal rape. But in every 50 states, there are spousal rape laws. That means that it doesn't even matter if you're dating someone, if you're married, if you don't want to have sex, then you get to say no. You know, and it's really important that everybody knows that.
Wow. Yeah, no, I didn't know that. I mean, that's interesting, you know, because I think you're right. I think there's this idea that if you're married or you have a spouse, you can't be raped, which is... That's a whole separate Facebook live conversation that I am not prepared for today. But no, started talking about it, having the prerogative to say no, and you said something amazing. I'm going to read that quote. But before I do, I just want to say really quickly, you just mentioned something about, you know, can I ask you to do this, or can I kiss you, or can I do that? For some people, that might be a great option. I know what you're saying. No, I think a lot of people are resistant to the idea of it, of consent becoming this clinical thing where it's like, can I touch you here? Can I put my hand here? And so I agree. For a lot of people, that's not sexy. But I also want to say, for those of you watching, if that's your thing, that's your thing, and that's great. You know, there's no, I don't think there's a right way or wrong way, just as long as there's,
right. I think we have to learn, really.
Yeah, as long as there's like a meeting of the mind.
And I think we have to learn, you know, how to use body language. I think that's really important, that we're able to like read each other, and we're able to, that's really something that we're lacking. And I think maybe part of that has to do with the fact that we're starting relationships online, or we're texting, and we're doing things like that. We're not engaging people in people in person as much, then we're losing contextual clues. So we're not being, and even if you grew up in an era where you were using the phone and you were talking to people in person and everything, you're losing the contextual clue that you, because you haven't used them in a while. So then now when you're out with somebody, maybe you can't read those contextual clues, and you can't, it's not the same. If you're texting with somebody, it's not the same. Although I do think that, you know, when I've coached women who are getting back into dating, I found that even if you're not ever going to meet anybody online, and that's not going to happen, even if that doesn't happen, it's such a good environment to practice setting boundaries, because then if somebody does something that offends you or you don't like, you don't feel like you have anything to lose. If you're in person, it's a lot harder, worried that you're going to offend somebody or they're not going to like you, and we still put that on top of it. Whereas if it's just a stranger, something, and they sex yes. you or something, it's not that hard to say like, hey, I don't like that. You know, it's not, nothing to lose. Nothing. You're not losing it. So.
Exactly. So on that note, I'm going to read part of your quote. Like I said, Beth's quote is in the Consent Guidebook, page 103 and 104. I'm going to read this last part here on page 104 because you basically touched on it already, and I think it's so great. So here we go. We always have the prerogative to say no. I suspect many times women especially feel guilty for moving things along and just give in when they really don't want to have sex. It's my hope that we can have an open discussion between women and men about sex. If women want to have sex, my hope is that we can eventually lose the guilt and be upfront with our partners without playing this antiquated game. Yes, yes. If you don't want to have sex, you don't owe anyone sex in exchange for anything. And it seems like, as I'm reading that quote, I'm like, that partial quote, I'm like, it's such a basic thing, but I think we do need reminders. We do need to remind ourselves, remember, and remind ourselves even during, or maybe you went on a date and you're like, oh, tonight's going to be the night. And then you get to that point, you're like, oh, tonight's not going to be the night. I'm not feeling it. That's okay. Like, mm-hmm. No one should ever shame around that or let someone shame you for that. And so thank you for that quote. It's really important. Boundaries too. Yeah.
Well, I think that's really at the center of this. When I look at that, when I've written about setting boundaries and how to set boundaries and what's stopping us from setting boundaries, to me, this whole movement really, and consent, the whole idea about consent and educating people about consent is really rooted in that. Because if you have a tough time setting boundaries for the reasons I mentioned before, if you're afraid you're going to, like, if someone's going to feel bad about it, or they're not going to like you anymore, or you're not going to get another date, or whatever it is that's stopping you, you know, that's all rooted in being able to set boundaries. And if yeah. someone can't respect those boundaries, then you don't need them in your life. Like, that's the reality right. of it. If you're say something to someone and they're going to take it the wrong way, or they're not going to like you, then goodbye. Like, bye-bye, Felicia. You know?
exactly. Okay, you kind of just, like, ran through all of my questions I was going to ask you. So we're running out of time. This always goes so too quickly. But I did want to ask you if you had any thoughts you wanted to share about Bill Cosby, because, again, we had messaged a little bit about that. Did you want to say anything about that verdict or that situation?
Yeah, I do. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. I mean, I think that it's really the changing of the times, and it's very indicative. And I hope that moves forward, so that when women are in this situation legally, that we're not attacking women, because that's always been like the MO in rape trials and assault trials has been, and we see it even with like Stormy Daniels, like, people are like, oh, she's a porn star or whatever. So we're denigrating these women. And I know that the defense attorney, that was his tactic in the Bill Cosby case. And, you know, I was really surprised when the verdict came back that quickly, because I thought a lot of times that people are just kind of like judging the women. They're saying, well, she wanted to be a star. She went to his room. She, you know, she's flaky. She's not reputable. And it's always about attacking a woman. And the thing that I've always thought about that was, like, if a guy is walking down the street and his wallet's in his back pocket and someone steals the wallet, does anybody say, well, it's too bad your wallet was in the back pocket, oh well,
right.
Why is it hard to come forward, especially against a power, someone with power? Plus, in those days, like we talked about before, we didn't define it that way. So if a woman went to a guy's room or something in those days, that was considered, well, you did that, that there was no word or name for that. So we didn't think of it that way. And kind of redefined that. Then I think that women are feeling empowered to come forward. So I'm really pleased that we'll have to, I mean, he's older now, so we don't know what kind of sentence he'll face, but the mere idea that it's really representational for me, like the idea that he was found guilty is more important than what punishment he gets, because we can't control that, obviously, but it's just the idea we're saying this man was a celebrity and he was in power, but time's up.
Right. And so I'll piggyback on that and say, I agree with you. I feel like finally there's some sort of punishment or what's the word? Retribution. That's not the right word. Happening that's evening out, or some sort of what's the word? Oh my god, I can't think of the word. Anyway, long story short, I'm hoping that I'm thinking Weinstein, I'm thinking about all these other cases, and I'm thinking that Bill Cosby cannot be the only one.
I think I hope it's that moving forward that there is messaging, because we do see that, like with Harvey Weinstein, all these people that are coming forward, they are having to pay the price. Matt Lauer, these people have lost. They have lost a tremendous amount by you know.
But they
not
haven't
like you just rub it under the rug and pay a woman off. It's not, that's changing. The culture's changing.
Well, but they have, those other guys you mentioned though haven't lost their freedom yet. So
no,
that's what
no,
I'm saying.
They
It'll
may
be
not.
Interesting to
we
see going
know.
Forward.
Legally, but it's still like a strong message that you can't just do that. And bad behavior is just not acceptable anymore. And we're looking at it in a different way, so that whether or not they do face legal repercussions, these other men, they did lose something, whether it's money or their jobs, they did lose something from doing this. And it's sending a message to them that you can't just behave badly and say, oh, well, my bad. Like the my bad thing isn't going to work anymore.
Right. The my bad excuse is no longer valid. Okay. Right. So we're running out of time. Do you have any final consent thoughts or tips or advice? I mean, the quote I read that was in the book is one of my favorites. I think it's great and it's so straightforward. But do you have any other consent nuggets that you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, I think that it's just a question of respecting yourself and not feeling bad about saying no or yes. I think, you know, on the flip side of that, I think we carry a lot of guilt about saying yes, so that also confuses the message. So if you want to have sex, you don't have to have any kind of like guilt about it. And women want to have sex. It's not like women are not just all saying we're never going to have sex anymore. And it's not like all men are women. It's not gender based like that. So I think that we should be able to feel strong to say yes or no, and to not worry about what the repercussions are for either. And then both men and women and same sex couples have to respect each other. And if that's not what you're getting back from the other person, then that person is not right for you.
Well said, Beth. Thank you so much. Please tell everyone where can find you, either website, social media, share all the things with us now, please.
Okay, that sounds great.
Oh, no, tell us. Tell us where people can find you.
Oh.
And your articles.
Find me on Twitter at BCK27 and Beth Cohn Kramer at Facebook. And I'm working on two projects. One is called Soaring Solo, and it's about sort of empowering women to be solo. I'm going to be contributing also to Secure Singles, which is a website, Secure Single. And if you go to my Facebook page or my Twitter, I'll be sharing that information there. I also am working on a project called Divorcely to help women transition to divorce, so to transition from being divorced or married through divorce to being single again. And I'm particularly interested in my work right now with women who are over 40, because I think there's different issues that come up compared to women who may be divorced when their kids are young, because it's really, there's a lot of transition, you know, from being during middle age, also transitioning with kids leaving the home, and then being divorced is a whole other piece of that.
Mm. So that's amazing. Like, thank you so much. And you add a lot to the conversation. You add a lot to my book because your focus is very specific. I love it so much.